Hello, members of the Lasting Supper. This is David Hayward. Welcome to Meet a Member Podcast. Hello, Jesse.
Hi, can you hear me all right?
I can. I can hear you perfectly. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, you sound great. How are things going?
Oh, pretty good. We just got back from a week-long trip to visit my mom and last night, and we're just kind of have a day to recover before getting back to the daily grind.
Wow. So how far was that away?
Only about 4-hour drive up north from us. So yeah, not too bad.
Okay, cool. So I want to thank you for talking with me today. And I really appreciate your presence on the Lasting Supper and your wit and wisdom and all that you contribute there. And I thought it would be cool to just get people to meet you today and talk a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, I'm glad to be here.
It's Sunday. Did you go to church today?
Nope, I don't even feel bad about it.
Tell us about that. You used to go to church.
I did, yeah, for most of my life, from 5 years old until about 4 years ago.
Oh, wow. So what started you backsliding?
Oh, my backsliding was conveniently as a result of having my little daughter, Bella, that I think I've told a lot of people about. But yeah, when I found out I was pregnant with her, I had a bad feeling and I was actually going to church. And then about halfway through my pregnancy, I stopped going because I was so sick.
Right.
And then I was put on hospital bed rest. And then from there, it was just a convenient thing because, you know, she was in the hospital and I couldn't go. Right. And I originally just intended for it to be like an indefinite hiatus.
Right.
And about the time I decided, like probably when Bella was getting closer to 2 years old, I was thinking, oh, I should probably look into going back to church. And then instead, my religion kind of disintegrated. Mm-hmm.
What, over time, you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, what brought that on? What do you think brought that on? Could you have a few kids, don't you?
Yeah, I have three girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, three girls. So.
And so Bella, her illness, her birth, you know, the struggle through your pregnancy, and then you just spending time away from church, all contributed to your, deconstruction of some of your beliefs and.
Somewhat. I mean, that's a big part of it, but honestly, I mean, and I don't want to, you know, put every person in one basket or every Christian in one basket, but the Christians around me where I live, for all intents and purposes, I could have died and I don't think they would have noticed because there was people that knew what we were going through, but there was no like tangible, you know, meaningful response from them. It was a lot of like, oh, we're praying for you. And, you know, and I mean, no offense, but that means crap when you need somebody to come and take your kids to the park because you can't, you know, or, you know, bring some meals because you're literally eating peanut butter and jelly just to, you know, get by because you don't have time to cook because you're, you know, I was tube feeding an infant. Anyways, you get the idea. Like it was the response or the lack of response from people around me. I went into a kind of a cocoon of just like denying that was what was happening.
Right.
I kept trying to think better of people, even if they weren't, you know, behaving better.
Right.
And then when I started looking back into going to church, it was a really interesting, I mean, it's funny looking back on it now, like it was it's humorous to me.
Mm-hmm.
At the time it was horrendous, but now it's just like, wow. I was so close to becoming a Seventh-day Adventist. I almost went to a Seventh-day Adventist church.
Right.
And then I don't really remember what it was that made me realize, wait a minute, it isn't any different than anything else I've ever been involved with, except it's more intense even.
Right.
You know, and I wish I could remember what it was that clued me in. I mean, I feel grateful that I didn't, you know,
right.
get tied up in that. But anyways, and then I was introduced to the writings of a person who helped me to unravel hell, which was a huge thorn in my side throughout my entire career as a Christian, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Just, I couldn't understand I couldn't understand why, you know, it was important for us to be able to be in God's presence that he had to torture and kill his own son. It just never made any sense. But, you know, like a good Christian should, I just accepted it. And, you know, so anyways, I discovered the writings of a man who helped me unravel all of that. And I think once that was unraveled for me and I was able to realize that I was right all along, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
The rest of it just fell apart very almost easily. It was like that was the thing holding it together, which I guess makes sense because I was afraid of going to hell, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I honestly, there, a lot of my life was dictated by that fear that overtook everything. So
yeah. Do you recall the author who wrote those?
I do. He was a former, well, I guess he was a roofer his whole life, but his name is L. Ray Smith.
Okay.
And he had, or he still has, he's no longer with us, but he has a website called Bible Truths. It's a very rough website if you know, as far as websites go, but
right.
He always said, I'm a roofer, not a, you know, not a writer. And he never printed any books. He had all of his stuff available for free.
Right.
And I'm always going to be grateful for, you know, what he did.
Right.
With his life.
So it sounds like you're building something in the background.
Yes. Oh, and my daughter is riding her little trike toy around. I can't see.
Okay.
Yeah. We've got a family and my computer's in the middle of where we all hang out.
Yes. Well, that's called motherhood, I guess.
Yes, it is.
So these two things were happening at the same time, then you were sort of getting disillusioned with the actual church life and what's called community just didn't seem to measure up with its claims. And then at the same time, you were going through theological changes and it's almost like these two intersected and caused, you know, just brought on a decision by you that it no longer suited you. I mean, that happens to a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
It can be one thing. It can be either the church or it can be theology or it can be both, you know?
Yeah. I think there was a lot more to it than just, but those were the big catalysts.
Right.
Where my already, the issues I already had, you know, and having all that time away from the traditional, you know, routine.
Right.
Gave me a lot. I mean, I literally had nothing but time to think because tube feeding Bella would involved hours of sitting.
Right.
And sitting and sitting and sitting. And I mean, you can only watch so much, you know, Netflix or whatever before you're just, you know, ignoring it. And just, I think all the time, my brain just doesn't shut up, you know?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, I mean, first I went through a period of major fear. And then I realized, wait a minute, this fear, what people are always talking about, like, don't let fear, you know, rule you. Well, that was my experience with Christianity.
Right.
Fear was ruling me my entire life. And it's like nauseating.
Yeah.
That's literally.
Yeah, it is. That was one of the big motivations for me too. I remember listening to my friends who were going to a youth group talk about the revelations and the end times and what was going to happen after Jesus came back and all this stuff. And I was absolutely terrified. I mean, I just, you know, I couldn't sleep nights. It was terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely. No, that's yeah.
So what do you miss about church? Do you miss anything about the church or?
Me? Honestly, no, I don't. I heard of a lot of other people. I mean, I saw a lot of people around me that seemed to have, you know, good friends and, you know, connections and felt like they were useful in their community. And I mean, I always tried. And there was, I think, the only time I ever felt really, truly valuable and valued was the 2 years that I was a youth leader at a postmodern church in my neighborhood.
Okay.
And, you know, that whole situation ended very sadly also, but, you know, that was the only time. And it was because I felt like I was being a positive, you know, person in those kids' lives. And,
yeah. Yeah.
But that was about it. So no, I don't really miss anything. I mean, I definitely don't miss having to go to bed early on Saturday night so that I can make sure I get to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
And, you know, and other than that, I mean, I just, the reality is I don't have any friends left.
Right.
From well, how that time in my life.
So do you miss that at all, though, the community aspect or the networking that was provided or a way to connect with other people?
No, I think I went to too many churches, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So it would have been a headache
right.
to try to keep up with any, you know, I mean, and it isn't that I didn't appreciate any of the people there, because I did, you know, and mm-hmm. and I made some casual friends, nothing deep, nothing lasting, obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I guess I just don't really miss any of it.
Would you call yourself a spiritual person?
I think for me that is inescapable. Yes, I would consider myself a spiritual person.
And how do you take care of that? What do you do now?
Well, believe it or not, this might sound scary, but I'm actually studying I'm studying the tarot and the history of the tarot. And I actually bought a book and a pack of tarot cards. And it's not, for me, that's more of a tool to explore
right.
ancient spirituality. It isn't really, you know, but it's been interesting because I've had a few readings done and they amaze me. And I've always been a rather intuitive person as well. And to me, that goes hand in hand with my spiritual side. So,
right.
I'm also delving a little bit into reincarnation.
Right.
You know, I'm just exploring. I think right now I'm literally just a scuba diver in the spiritual sea, and I'm just looking around at all the different stuff, you know?
Yeah. Do you struggle at all? Does that fear ever come creeping back in, or guilt or shame, or do you wonder or anything like that? Or do you feel like you've moved beyond that?
The fear, not so much. I'm thankful for guilt and shame are definitely lurkers in my life and try to come back and get me down. That's definitely something I struggle with. But fear, right. I'm thankful that I feel like for the most part, at least spiritually derived fears, those are no longer a monster under my bed. So
yeah. Yeah. What do you appreciate about the Lasting Supper? What do you find there?
Oh my. Well, I mean, aside from yourself, which has been such a huge, you have been a huge blessing, and you are the Lasting Supper. I mean, you created it. So I don't know.
Well,
that's
why I asked you this question, because I wanted you to talk about me and tell me how great I was. No, I'm only teasing. No, it's not me. I mean, I think with the help of some people created a space, but,
yeah.
And it's cool. The people who've gathered there for sure.
Yes, well, but I wanted to say that because you're the one. I mean, I was with it before it was even the Lasting Supper. I mean, it was like a brand new
David. Yeah, that's Hayward, right.
You know,
David Hayward. CA. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, yeah. No, but what I find there, what I have there is like I said before, I'm a scuba diver in the spiritual sea, and TLS is like. It's like this awesome harbor that has all the different kinds of sailors, you know?
Yeah.
And they're all hanging out and they're having a drink together and they're just chatting. And
yeah.
Some of them are rougher on the edges and some of them are more traditional. And I mean, it just, that to me, it's a beautiful thing because there isn't really anything else. I mean, there isn't anything else like it.
Yeah. Yes. There is quite a diversity of people. So like, for instance, we have atheists and there's believers and there's churchgoers and there's people who aren't churchgoers and there's tarot card readers and there's crystal readers and pagans. And yeah, there's all kinds of people. But I think the commonality is that we recognize that we're all searching, and there's just that openness to what other people are looking at and exploring. And I think we're just a bunch of people who are open to, you know, be in relationship with other people who might be on different paths, but that's where our commonality lies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Well, I love it.
Yeah.
I do.
Hey, so you have some daughters, you have children. How do you, like, that's one of the issues that comes up on the Lasting Supper once in a while with people who have kids. They wonder, you know, I was raised in Sunday school, you know, I got taught stuff. Like, what do I do about my kids now? They don't go to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
How do you answer that question?
Well, for my older two girls, because Bella doesn't know any different, you know, she's never been in that world. But my older two girls, I worried about them for a while. I totally empathize with that concern and that question. Mm-hmm. Throughout my, you know, parenthood with them, I've tried to be as open within reason. I mean, people want to protect children and their innocence and everything, but the reality is life happens, and it happens right in front of kids sometimes, and there isn't really anything you can do about it. And, you know, so in taking that into the, you know, deconstructing my faith and, you know, everything, I decided that it would be best for their sake to do the same, to continue to be the open and honest. And so we would talk about things, and I actually told the girls, I said, if you guys want to keep going to church, I'm not going to stop you. I will drop you off and I will pick you up, you know, from Sunday school. If you want to go, I'm not here to say you're not allowed to do this anymore because I don't believe in it or whatever. And, the girls didn't ever request to go back. They actually talked about missing their friends. And I said, well, you know, we can see if they still want to get together, or, you know, we can, you know, try to find another way to make friends. But my girls seem to have responded quite well. I mean, we've had some interesting conversations around the table, you know, and they both have their own ideas about things. But that's, for me, at least if I was to give advice to someone, I would just say communication and openness is key. And the older the kid is, the easier it is for them to understand the language you might use, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, with mine, I've always used more mature language as far as just speaking to them like they're a little older, because kids understand more than we give them credit for.
yeah, they do. Yeah.
But so I don't know. That's kind of where we are at with our girls, and they're happy little non-church going kids at this point.
What do you do? As you say, you were going to Sunday school and church since you were five. Mm-hmm. What do you do with, say, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit? Do you care to share about that? Like, what do you do about that?
What do I do about it?
Yeah. Where do you put them, or do you?
Well, I guess it would be safe to say that right now, I guess an interesting point is my husband, whereas he's just deconstructed his religion as well. He is not in the same place that I am. And I mean, labels are something I think is just, it just separates people. So I don't really like to hold on to them. But when it comes up, I identify as loosely atheist, because I know the agnostic, it probably fits me better, but I do not believe in God as a male entity, you know? And so I guess, what do I do with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit right now? Me personally, nothing. Uh-huh. My husband, I think he still holds to them, so it's still present in my household, if that makes sense. But it's not my husband's not trying to change my mind, and I'm not trying to change his, and we are coexisting perfectly fine within our different spiritual, you know, mindsets. And our girls are allowed to choose and to question and talk and ask. And they go, you know, at least a few times a year to spend time with my in-laws, who are, you know, a pastor and wife.
Oh.
And they, you know, they don't seem to have any issues reintegrating back in and out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's a lot to be said for you and your husband being able to navigate those waters, not being on the same page theologically or spiritually, because, you know, I know of a lot of people that just creates so much tension in the home and in their relationship, and many times it can end up in disaster, you know. So I commend you guys for being able to, you know, proceed, even though you're not on the same page right now.
Well, thank you, David. Yeah, you know, it's definitely has struggles, but you know, I think it's, to me, that's been the most amazing thing. Is like, I was actually terrified that, you know, what was happening to me was going to be the end of my marriage, because I just didn't know, mm-hmm. you know, if he could handle it. But it ended up being a catalyst for him to start delving in and looking into and finding out. And so we've just decided that, you know, we're two different people. We obviously are going to adapt to every situation in a different way. It's not always going to be, you know,
Yeah.
100% seeing eye to eye on things. So,
yeah. So do we need to worry about you?
Do we need to worry about me? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. You sound great. You sound okay to me. So listen, thanks a lot, Jesse, also known as, can I give your handle?
Yeah, go ahead.
Also known as Moxie Rocks on The Lasting Supper. Thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and to you and your husband and your daughters, have a great day. See you at The Lasting Supper.
You too, David. See you there.
All right. Thanks for talking. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was Moxie Rocks. She's a lot of fun. She's, she's hilarious and just a lot of fun to chat with. And she's also on the Facebook, the secret group, the Lasting Supper secret group on Facebook. And if you want to join that, just let me know. It's a great place to connect as well. So thanks, Moxie. And we'll talk to you guys soon on the Lasting Supper. Hey, thanks so much for listening to Meet a Member. If you want to be interviewed for Meet a Member, just let me know and we'll get you on. Talk to you next time.